I am Bill Young. I'm one of the four pastors here, and it's good to be back downtown. It seems like a while since I've been here, and it's good to be around young people, as we like to say. Especially because last night, I was called an old fart. Just saying. And it was done in love, of course. I was actually in Los Angeles helping a Great Commission church that's starting there, full of young people, and the pastor there lovingly called me. I'm sure it was not me. It was probably John Meyer, who was with me, called him an old fart. Not me, but can we just hashtag stop hating old farts? Is that a thing? Respect the gray, all right? Come on. Let's bring some love in 2014. It is 2014. So let's do this, all right? Right? I'm still young. I'm not old. And I need a clicker, too. I don't see it. So we've got some good stuff that's going to happen tonight. 2014, I can't hardly believe that it's 2014. Time is flying by. And as I was thinking about tonight, 2014, the Rock Church, God has been using the Rock Church and the ministry and working through and in and to people from the Rock ministry for 14 years and about 3 months. And God, he has done so much as I think about it. Truly, oftentimes, you know, just the way I'm wired, and I suppose this is true of leaders of organizations, it's easy for me to wake up in the middle of the night and think of the failures. Think of the people that have left. Think of the things that haven't gone well or failed or just beat myself up. That happens easily. But you know what we need to do? We need to think about the good things God's done. We need to remember all the cool things. And that energizes us. And that is biblical. God wants us to remember. And he has done so much. Men and women, if you stop and think about it, and tonight will be an encouragement for you, I know. Just think about it. Hundreds, if not thousands, literally, of people have had opportunities to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. To hear that their sins can be forgiven, that they can pass from death to life because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ through the ministry of the Rock Church. God has done that. Literally hundreds, if not thousands of people have made that decision. Hundreds and hundreds of people have been baptized to express their faith in Christ. Marriages have been changed. Children have been raised in godly homes. Lives have been transformed into righteousness and character, been given and infused, and men and women discipled for Jesus Christ. There has been a real difference that has been made in the lives of thousands of people through God using the ministry of the Rock Church. And not because of us, oftentimes in spite of us. God does that. And we need to remember that. We do. We need to remember what God has done and not forget it, because we can forget it. And we can focus on the negative. We all have hard things that go on in our lives. It's true of churches. It's true of families. It's true of life. That happens. And tonight we're going to look back. Tonight is kind of the State of the Union. We have one every year. And it's important that we have that. Some of you have heard me give a State of the Union for over 20 years. And you're going to hear another one tonight. Because we need to remember what God has done. It encourages us because as I think of all the things that God has done, and it overwhelms me when I think about it. Everything that he's done, I can't remember half of it. Most of it will be remembered in heaven. I mean, the things that we can't remember now, it'll be brought back up in heaven and we'll say, I don't even remember when that happened. I don't remember who you are. And God did that through me or through the Rock? God did that? But I need to be honest with you. I think 2014 is going to be the most exciting, the most rewarding, the most challenging, the most faith-stretching year we've ever had. And I'm being honest with you. The plans I think that God wants us to accomplish, because we have determined as pastors that we're not going to maintain this year. That's not what we're going to do. We are going to take ground as a church. And if we're going to go out, you know what? I'd rather go down burning in a ball of fire than just kind of sail into the sunset. So we have plans this year that I think are going to rock your world. And if you're going to be a part of this, which I encourage you to be, it could change your life. You could be a part of it. And we're going to talk about that. That's why we created this 4-week series called Taking Ground 2014. 4 weeks we're going to talk about it. Today I'll talk more about the past because we need to know where we've been so we can have courage to face the future. We're going to talk about the past tonight and a little bit about where we're at. And next over the next few weeks we'll talk more about the future and how we're going to get, and we're going to reveal some amazing plans to you that we feel like God's given to us as a church, which means you and me, we get to do some exciting things for God. We get to step out in faith, and it's going to be awesome. I'm really excited. I'm biting my lip wanting to tell you, but I can't, because Josh and Steele and Mac would not be happy with me if I spilled it tonight, but there's some things you're going to hear over the next couple weeks that are going to be very, very exciting. And so tonight, what I want to do is kind of like I said, like a little bit of a state of the union, focus on the past, some of the events, specific events that we've done and things that have happened, just to remember, because you don't remember. And so I've been collecting these from the pastors over the last couple weeks. We're going to look at some of those things. And it is so important that we start at the same place. Every year, this is important. That we do this. It's not by accident that we do this. It is critical that we're all on the same page as we head into a new year. And this is how we do it. You know, I've been encouraged. I heard this illustration, and it's true. Let me grab something here. Every year, there was a famous coach named Vince Lombardi. You guys remember Vince Lombardi? Who was he coaching? Who did he coach? Green Bay Packers, may they rest in peace. I'm just saying there. I'm just saying. Stop hating the Broncos, okay? Let's do this. He coached some great teams. Green Bay Packer teams way back with Bart Starr and some amazing players back in the day. They won Super Bowls. They won championships all the time. He was one of the greatest football coaches of all times. And here's what he did. Every season, the beginning of every season, his players would come in, and these are professional players. These guys know a little bit about football. That's what they do for a living. He would bring his players in, some of the new ones and all the old ones who played football since they were little kids in the sandlot. Then they played it in high school, and they played football in college, and they played football professionally. These guys know football. He would stand up every year before the first practice. He'd gather his whole team together, and he'd hold up a football. He would say, men, this is a football. And he would say, the goal of this game is to get this football across a line, your opponent's line, into the end zone. That's the goal. And to stop them from getting this ball across our line. That's our goal. That's what we need to accomplish this year. This is a football, and that's what we're going to do. And then he would explain to them what blocking was and how to block. And then he would explain to them what it meant to tackle someone. He's talking to professional football players. This is a football. Church. Jesus is our football. It's all about Jesus. He is our football. He is our purpose. He is our goal. He is our everything at the Rock Church. It's all about Jesus. We need to start there, and you need to understand that. It's not about church service. It's not about rock and roll. It's not about getting more money or having good children's programs or nice microphones or good coffee in the back. That's not what it's about. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And we need to start there. I hope you realize that. But we move on from there. And the goal is not to take a football across the goal line. The goal is to take Jesus to the ends of the earth. That's our goal as a church. And we start right here in Utah. How do we do that? What are the blocking and tackling? That's our vision and our mission. That's how we do it. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. How we do that. What is our vision? What is our mission? It's all about Jesus and telling the world about Jesus. That's what we want to do. That's the most important thing. And we need to start there. And we need to remember that. So when it comes to the tackling and the blocking, really that's our vision and our mission. Again, so we'll start there. I'll start there with the football, just like I do every year. We're going to talk about our vision and our mission the same way that we do every year. Well, let's do this verse because I like this verse. Speaking about vision, I like it. King James, where there's no vision, the people perish or are unrestrained. Now, I understand that if you're going to take that verse, there's different ways to read it, but it does speak to my heart about this issue of having a vision, knowing where I'm going. The bigger picture of this is a football and we take this football across the line. That's the big picture. And there's value in knowing that. And I think this verse speaks to that. Without vision, people are unrestrained. They just kind of go everywhere. And we need to have a vision. And we do have a vision. As a church, we know the bigger picture. It's about Jesus. It's about telling people about Jesus. That's what we're going to do. I like what Andy Stanley says. He says, vision is painting a picture of a preferred future. This last two or three days when I was in Los Angeles with John Meyer and Pat Sokol, we were just helping out this fledgling little Great Commission church, young college student types, and there's probably 15 of them. And I probably shared this quote a half a dozen times during that when I was talking with the leaders, the pastor guy. What is your vision? Is it compelling? Are people, well, people won't follow you if you don't have a vision. And a vision, young man, is painting a picture of a preferred future, meaning it's not right that people are going to hell in Los Angeles. And you guys can do something about it, that there's a better picture, the same way we feel about Utah. It's not right that less than 3% of the population in Utah claims to be an evangelical Christian. Less than 3%. That's not right. That's not right. We got to do something about that. We need the whole state to know about the historic biblical Jesus. We need the whole state to know, and then the world will take notice. It's not right. And I'm not going to stop until that happens. That's what a vision does. I like this quote. Vision is the art of seeing things invisible. Meaning, I don't see it now. It's hard to imagine. I've had people tell me, countless people, over the years that I moved out here. When I say, you know, I believe with all my heart that God is going to transform Utah into a historic Christian state. The whole state is going to transform to trust in Christ. And they say, I've had so many people say that. That'll never happen. I believe it will. You call me crazy if you want to, but I believe it's going to happen. And it affects what I do, and it'll affect what you do. I believe it. You might not see it. I believe it. I believe it's going to happen. I think God has a plan for Utah. And we have something to do with that, along with other Christ-preaching churches in the valley. God's up to something, even if we don't see it. Let's skip that one. I like what Helen Keller said. She was blind. She was mute. She couldn't hear. She was deaf. Yet she was able to communicate. She figured out a way to communicate with people. And she said this, so insightful. It's a terrible thing to see, but have no vision. To be able to see. She couldn't see. She was blind, but she said, I have a vision for my life. And she influenced so many people because she had a vision. We need to have a vision. You've heard me share this before, but Coca-Cola, they are driven by a vision. Did you know that? I mean, I've been to a number of countries, and I've had Coke products in almost all of them. Here I'm drinking a Coke in Petra, Jordan, having a Coke, and it's all in Jordanian, and there's all kinds of different Cokes. Everywhere you go, there's Cokes, and there's Coke in Los Angeles the last couple of days. They have it there. Do you know what Coke's vision statement is, if you go to their website? Their statement is to refresh the world. That's their vision. We're going to refresh the entire world. You know how many people have heard of Coca-Cola products? 91% of the population of the planet has heard of Coca-Cola. They are accomplishing their worldwide vision with sugar water. And we have Jesus. And we have less than 3% in the state you live in, knows about Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. Yet Coke can reach 91% of the world for a profit. I've often said, what if I gave you $5 for every time you shared the gospel? Would the state get reached? Sadly, I think it would. I think we'd find some people have the gift of evangelism all of a sudden. And that's a sad statement. Because people's eternity is on the line. God has us on mission to take Jesus to the ends of the earth. And it starts here in our backyard. It starts here. With you and with me. We're on mission. All right, our vision. We have a vision statement. It starts one life. That's how it starts. You're going to say it with me, and if you know it, say it really loud. It starts one life. We're going to say it together. Our vision statement, The Rock. One life at a time. One world in our lifetime. Say it out loud. I'll put it up here for you. Ready? One life at a time. One world in our lifetime. Again, it's basics. We need to know this. That's what we do. The person that sits next to you in the cubicle at work, that person's life, God wants to transform that. And then you, he's got somebody over here at your school for you to reach. And one life at a time. We do it one life at a time, and the world will get reached. We focus on the people around us. Each of us does our part, and the world will get reached. That's how we believe it's going to get reached. That's our big picture. We're on world-conquering vision mission. That's what we're doing. Join us. We're going to conquer the world together. And I'm not kidding. We have a cause way better than caramel and sugar and water and a little bit of Coke, okay? We have a lot bigger vision than that, and you can join us. Here's our mission. So the vision is the bigger picture. I guess one more illustration that I love to share. Walt Disney was a visionary, right? He was. He saw things. He could see something in the future. He could see what it was going to look like. He could dream it. He was a dreamer, very creative. And I love the story of what happened when he had created Disneyland, and then he had dreamed up and came up with this idea of Disney World down in Florida. And before Disney World had their grand opening, Walt, he died. And at the grand opening, some of his staff were reminiscing on the opening of Disney World. And at one particular point, somebody was talking to Mike Vance, who was the creative director of Disney at the time, and a good friend of Walt's. And somebody said to Mike Vance, the creative director, "Man, it is so sad that Walt wasn't here to see this." And Mike Vance correctly said, "He did see it. That's why it's here." That's what a vision is. I see a time when the entire state of Utah is transformed into a historic Christian church. Does that mean everybody? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the bulk of the people in this state that are believing something different right now are going to be transformed. And find grace and find a merciful God who doesn't hang a list over you and say, do this and do this, and maybe you can jump up and maybe you can get there. The state's going to find it, and that's going to affect the world. That's the vision I see. That's the future I see, and I want to be a part of it. And I tell God that selfishly. God, I want a piece of that pie. I want to be a part of doing that. That's what I want to give my life to. What an opportunity. And again, if you think about it, what's happening next week? We have Ravi Zacharias preaching the gospel on the stage of the Mormon Tabernacle on Temple Square next Friday night or Saturday night, whatever night it is. Saturday? That is amazing. That's historic. And you go, oh, it's not going to happen. How did that happen? Ask yourself that question. How did that happen? How do evangelicals get to preach the gospel on the stage of the Mormon Tabernacle in Temple Square? Because God is doing something in Utah, and I want to be a part. This isn't even my message, but this is so important. This is on my heart. I believe it. So that was our vision. So we have a mission statement as well, and that starts, win the loss. That's how we start it. So I want you to say that out loud with me. See, it does a pastor good. It does Vince Lombardi good when his coach, his football players go, uh-huh, football, that's a football. Okay? It does me good to hear you know our mission statement, our vision statement. This is our mission statement. This is how we do it. Vision is a big picture of what should be. Mission means how we're going to do it practically. So it starts off one life. No, that's our vision. So it starts off, win the lost, okay? Win the lost. Ready to say it with me? Win the lost, build the believer, send the sanctified. Amen. Everybody say it. Win the lost, build the believer, send the sanctified. You and I, we're on mission to reach the world for Jesus Christ. How do we do it? One life at a time. One world in our lifetime. How practically is that implemented? We win people to Christ. We share the gospel with them. We simply sow the gospel. That's what we do. And we try to help you do it. And then when they come into a relationship with Christ, we build them up. We teach them how to read the Bible, how to pray, how to be reaching out to their friends, how to be encouraged and live a life that honors God. Then we send them to do the same thing. We send them out. We plant churches. We start new small groups. We do ministry. We go out and help the homeless. We go out and help the Pregnancy Resource Center. We do a lot of things. We send people out. That's our mission. That's how we live it out. So, mission and vision drive what we do. I like what Andy Stanley says. He says, we all end up somewhere in our life. Some of us get there on purpose. Again, vision and mission drives what you do. If you don't know your vision, if you don't know what you're doing, you're just kind of going to church, then you're going to be all over the place, and you'll probably be gone in a couple years, if not sooner. Again, I invite you to join us in our vision, our mission to reach the world. We need all hands on deck. And this year is going to be no different. It's going to be even more exciting. So let's pray. That was my intro. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you put us on a mission. Thank you. You called us to seek and save the lost, to do what you did, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are on mission here, even in Utah, that you're out to win with love and your sacrifice and the blood that you shed, the people that you've called and that you've redeemed. There's people out there that you've called and they've been redeemed and they need to know what you did for them. So they can make that call. They can make that decision. They can bow before you and repent of their sins. God, we want to be part of that. And I thank you right now, again, I'm so humbled by what you have done in the past. What you've done, God. You have blessed us. You have been good to us. And for that, we're very, very thankful. So we do commit our night to you. We pray, God, that you would help us be encouraged by the past so that gives us hope and encouragement for the future. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to look at three keys to taking ground in 2014. We're going to focus more on the past. We're going to touch on the present and the future because we're going to talk more about the future in coming weeks. So you can fill out the blanks as we go along here. Looking back at the past, Psalm 77, I like this. Verse 11 through 12 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. That means we think back and we meditate and think about and consider what God has done in the past. The Bible tells us to do that. That's a good thing. When Paul says forget the past, he's talking about all the bad stuff. Forget that and I press ahead. Paul says I'm pressing ahead. It helps us press ahead when we look back and see what, not what we've done, not that we're so awesome, but man, look what God has done. There's a wake. There's a Holy Spirit wake behind us. And we go, that is evidence of God. And it will encourage us. That's why it says, I remember what God has done. Because we can so easily focus on all the negative. We need to take time. That's what I want to do tonight. Looking back gives us hope for the future. 1 Samuel, I love the story of David. When little teenage boy David saw the giant mocking God, he was incensed as a little teenage boy, was incensed and went to the king David, King Saul, who is a head taller than anyone else in Israel. So if King Saul is a head taller than anyone in Israel, and Goliath is saying, bring me your biggest man, who do you think should have gone out? King Saul should have gone out, but he didn't. For 40 days, he was mocked and ridiculed and was shamed. And little David walks up to him and says, I'll take him. Give me a piece of that guy. Come on. He's mocking my God. And Saul says, well, he was really beat down at that point. He says, why do you think you can take him, young man? And David says, well, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Bring him on. You see, he remembered when he was even younger and he was tending sheep and a bear came up to try to kill his sheep. David took the bear out as a little boy. And the little boy knew it wasn't him, it was God. He remembered what God had done. And when a lion came to take one of those sheep, David killed the lion. But did David do it? No, he knew God helped him and gave him power. So he said, it'll be the same thing. Just like back then, it'll be the same thing. This guy, he's going down. I got my slingshot. I'll take care of it. Remembering the past gives us hope for the future. It does. Not only that, Psalm 78, 9 through 11 says, the men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, let me back up there. The men of Ephraim, though they were well equipped, they had everything they needed. They weren't lacking anything. That's why the psalmist put it in there. The men of Ephraim, comma, though they had weapons, they weren't ill-equipped. They weren't ill-prepared. They weren't untrained. They had everything they needed. The men of Ephraim, though they were armed with bows, they turned back. They ran like little girls off the battlefield. They what? Yeah, they turned tail and they ran screaming. Well, they must not have had weapons. No, they had weapons. And maybe they weren't trained. No, they were trained. But they ran away on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant, and they refused to live by his law. They were disobedient, number one. And then verse 11, this is why they ran. They forgot. They forgot what he had done, what God had done the wonders he had shown them. God, they forgot. When we forget what God does, we'll only focus on the negative and we'll be scared and we'll run from issues of faith. We will not apply faith. Faith will be our enemy. We'll be afraid of it and we'll turn and we'll want to go the other way. We'll try to protect ourselves. That's the problem with living in an affluent country. Oftentimes what we do, even as Christians, is try to bring about circumstances in life that cause us not to have to apply faith. Oh, if I just had enough money in the bank, then I wouldn't have to apply faith. Oh, if circumstances were good, then I wouldn't have to apply faith. We're always trying to position ourselves so we don't have to apply faith. What gives us faith, men and women, is to remember what God's done. What has he done? And he has done a lot in our midst. He has done a lot in our midst. And it'll cause us to be thankful as well and expectant. Psalm 126 says, "Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. When we remember the great things God has done, then we'll be filled with joy and expectancy. And so for 2014, I want us to be expecting God to do amazing things. And this is one way we're going to do it. We're going to look back. So I just want to take a little trip down memory lane with some of these pictures here, just to remind all of us where this began, practically, our football, our personal football. It'd be like Vince Lombardi saying, "Hey, you know, remember last year we won the pennant, but we didn't quite make it to the Super Bowl. We're going to do that this year. And don't forget, you know, Bart Starr, you threw, you know, 15 touchdown passes. It was awesome," or whatever. That's reminding them of their greatness and what God has done through and in our ministry. It's so cool. Way back in 1999, so that's 14 years, and in May it'll be 15 years that we actually moved out here, and there's a band of men and women, mainly from Colorado, that were planning on moving out, and that first month of May, the McEnroys were able to come out at that time, so the Youngs and McEnroys moved out. This is the first service that we had in my living room. You'll see people that still... that you recognize. You see Paige and Suge, and Kim is in there somewhere. She's off camera, but those three came right away. We ran into the God led us right to Kim and Paige and Suge, and that was such a blessing for us. And we started meeting in my house, and we started inviting people to come experience what we had experienced ourselves, the love of Christ. That was 1999, our living room. We had our first kickoff service, our official kickoff service in October 17th of 1999 at the Alta Canyon Sports Center. And we had 101 people show up. So from that little living room experience, we had 101 people show up. And we were ecstatic. We were excited. And so it began. And here we are 14 years and almost 3 months later. And God again has done amazing things. So here's a picture of the 30 that actually came out over the course of that first really year and a half, including the porters, and they're sitting right here, and Nathan was leading worship tonight, and that's, where's Nathan? I'm going to find him, because he is right there. There's Nathan. He's got a red shirt on again tonight, right? So he always wears red shirts. I think he's got a red. That's Nathan, and there's Stephen with his Batman shirt. Whoops, I didn't do anything. Back off, Scrib. I didn't. Is this one of those touchscreen things? Can I move it around? All right, so this was the 30 that came out. And God bless the faith. 30 people moved their homes, gave up jobs, had to get new jobs, had to buy new houses. 6 families came out and helped start what God was doing here. And these little band of brothers and women, God honored their faith. Then we move on to 2003. This was our 3 years into it. And we had been meeting at Alta Canyon. We outgrew it. We were meeting in the aerobics room. And it got full, and we were baptizing people, lots of people in the Olympic-sized swimming pool, and we were having kids' programs in all the racquetball rooms, and we were baptizing people in the hot tub, wherever we could find water, we were baptizing people. And lives were changing, and God brought us many of you during those years. And then we grew to a point where we needed another pastor. Mac was recognized as our second elder, our second pastor of the Rock Church in 2003, went from being an electrician to being our second pastor, and then we had Paige was on staff, and Suji was on staff, and Kim there. You see Rock and Roll Steel with his long hair, and then Kim is, they're not married yet, they don't even know they're going to be married yet, and they're sitting there in my living room, and there's Jeannie and Steve and my beautiful wife there. And then in 2003, we started this church. We took a group of men and women, see the Walters here, they're on the team at the very beginning, and we had meetings where we said, "Let's do this. Same kind of thing. Let's go do this. We can do it. You guys can do it." And we said, let's go plant a church that all your friends would like to come to. So we planted it right here in this building. As a matter of fact, it was turned around right there where the sound booth is. That's where the stage was, right back there. So the stage was there facing this way. And then we grew. We had to bust out this wall. Then we got the other side of the section. We just kept growing and kept growing. And that was a faith issue. We took about 30 people from the Sandy Church and just planted them down here and said, this is go for it. And we stepped out in faith. We took ground in 2003. And God blessed 250 people at our first service in this right here in this room. And then we planted, Mac took a team down to Provo that was already coming up here. They all sat right in the front row. There was two rows of Provo people that would sit here every weekend. It kind of bothers me that nobody sits in the front row anymore. That we might as well just roll these out, except for you guys. Roll the rest out. Nobody sits here anymore. This is where the Provo people used to sit. And we started noticing that. Mac started noticing. He had a Bible study with him. We said, let's go plant a church in Provo. Let's just go down. You guys shouldn't have to drive up every week. So Mac moved his family again, moved down to Provo to bless them. And we had 480 people at that first service in Provo. And God was blessing. We took ground in 2007. Let me just go over some of the events. So that's kind of real quick, bringing you up to today. So 14 years and 2 months later. Let me just go over some of the things that have happened in 2014. This is where I want to spend some time. Just bullet items, okay? Just to tweak your memory to remember the deeds of the Lord. We've got lots of events. We had our Roots. Some of you are going to go, oh yeah, we did that. I forgot about that. We had our Roots 2 campaign where we raised money, did a capital campaign, which is always a big deal, to raise money to help get money to build a building. We had our land paid for last year, which is a big deal, in Sandy to build a building there. So we're getting really close to getting our permits. I'm realizing that this is a long process to get permits to do stuff like that. But we're hoping as soon as possible we get those permits, we're going to start building. And the goal is in October to actually have our grand opening. You're all invited to the grand opening at our new building in Draper. We did a childcare remodel downtown right over here. Childcare remodel, that was kind of a big deal. We had our marriage conference last year. Remember that? Charlie and Roxmeyer came. You probably forgot about that. They came and blessed our hearts. We had our pastor's conference. It kind of relates to the pastors here. A marriage retreat, well, that was doubled up. New weddings, a bunch of new weddings. We had new babies born. Our Christmas programs were awesome. And then we had Faith Walkers, just came out of Faith Walkers. Just a few of the events that we had to bless people, to build them up. And then we had a bunch of outreach things. Our whole year was a theme, simply so. Get the gospel out. So we're all trying to do that. And we had lots of different outreach things. We had the Nick Vujicic event. Remember that? Nick came to town and he preached all over the city, and thousands of people came and hundreds responded to the gospel. We had our mission to the city here, the downtown church, and I'll talk more about that in a second. We had our Honduras mission trip, which blessed a bunch of our sister our churches in Honduras. A bunch of people from those churches and poor and needy in Honduras were really benefited from the Honduras mission trip. We had our Romanian mission trip. So we went the year before just to kind of scope out some areas in Romania, and we had a short-term mission. We had over 30 people come and help build a church building in Romania that really will be a church building that will be manned by rock people, because we have three families that are gearing up to move to Romania this summer. So three families from our congregation are going to move to Romania, and they're going to be leading worship services and seeing people come to know Christ in the building that we built last year. It's amazing what God is doing through just a handful of men and women. We had the My Hope event in November, Billy Graham event, where we invited people into our homes and got to watch Billy Graham share the gospel on his 95th birthday. We put together over 230 Christmas boxes for Operation Christmas Child with Samaritan's Purse. 230 children were blessed because of your generosity. That was a big deal. Mission to the city for the downtown church. Josh and Steele gave me some stats. You guys spent the whole month of June outreaching. Remember that? Seems like forever ago. Right? You guys spent the whole month of June, there were hundreds of people literally that did outreach at the Bees games, outreach at Temple Square, outreach at the Gateway Mall. Over 5,000 invite cards were distributed there. Service projects, including construction project with Habitat for Humanity, you guys helped with that. Deep cleaning at the downtown church, you guys cleaned up this whole building, which is no small task. You did the dollar car wash, remember that? You didn't charge a dollar. You gave them a dollar. When they came in, it was a dollar car wash, but you handed them a dollar and you washed their car. That was very cool. That's a great outreach. You gave them snacks. You gave them invite cards. You gave them information about Jesus. Volunteers went to the rescue mission during Mission to the City in that month and blessed people that were less fortunate than you and I. You did part of their worship service at the rescue mission. You served over 450 homeless people. That's what happened out of this little band of brothers. You sorted items for the Pregnancy Resource Center during that month. You did a toiletries drive for the Utah AIDS Foundation, providing shampoo, conditioner, lotion, tissue, toilet paper for needy people. You blessed a lot of people. And that is a glory to God. Let's remember that, okay? Let's not forget all that God has done through you and through this church. That is awesome. That's incredible. We had salvations and baptisms. We know that during the Nick event, we had over 20 people come to know Christ when we showed the Nick video. We ended up showing it at our services that weekend. And over 20 people responded to the gospel message. Easter weekend, we shared the whole gospel story very, very clearly. And over 32 people at the Rock locations came to know Christ just that weekend. In Honduras, we had over 10 to 20 people during the Honduras mission trip that professed faith in Christ. Josh wanted you to know that Haley got saved. His daughter got saved. He put that in there. We have 32 other known salvations names listed. We don't do the greatest job of keeping the names, but we have at least 32 other names that we know of people that came to know Christ. Again, 20 salvations during the My Hope Billy Graham outreach program. You add them all up, that's close to 100 people that we know made professions for Christ this year. 100 people made professions for Christ this year through the ministry of the Rock Church. Those are the ones that we have record of. Not the ones that we don't know about. There's lots of people that get saved and we don't even know it. And we have a bunch of baptisms. Again, I don't think the record is right when I got it, but we had a bunch of baptisms. We need more baptisms. We did a lot of sowing this year. I'm going to encourage us all to obey God in baptism in 2014. That would be an honor to Him. So let's do that. We had a bunch, but we need a bunch more. Ministry. Lots of ministry. The Memory Madness program. You guys started that this year. I hope you're doing the Memory Madness program. Did you start it this year? Was that Provo? You guys started this year? Yeah, okay. My wife kind of is in charge of it. She says over 2,000 Bible verses were memorized through the Memory Madness program that we have at the Rock Church. Over 2,000 verses were memorized. That's a woot. You get a woot woot for that one, okay? Yeah. Woot woot, okay? All right. The Royal Family Kids Camp. They made a call out to us to see if we'd help them, and a number of people volunteered from the Rock Church to help that wonderful ministry. Steele, I think, did these calculations. 1,443 combined house church, small group, and life church meetings. 1,400 different small group and life group meetings throughout the year. 1,400. That's a lot of fellowship. That's a lot of building. And that's what's happening there. A lot of ministry. We had over 72 leaders meetings, just leaders specifically, meetings just for leaders, to build up our leaders. Downtown, they had the biggest year in their house church history in small group. And in Sandy, we had over 20 small groups going at the same time, and Provo had a bunch as well. Lots of small group. We had new staff hires this year. We hired a number of part-time staffers to help us with our administration. Had our Revive Overnighter, our old GCLI. We had college outreach that started. We had Paul Jackson, who was on staff part-time to help with the college outreach to make a push toward the campus to reach more people on campus. 175 kids participated in the high school LT this year, the leadership training that was in Colorado. 25 additional people, and I love this, 25 additional children were sponsored through Compassion International, through the ministry and through you at the Rock Church. That makes over 150 children, as I've added them up over the years. 120 children that have been sponsored by Rock people. That makes a huge difference in a child's life, to sponsor a child through Compassion. 120 children have been sponsored through the Rock Church, as I've added it up. We had 255 worship services. We had 716 Sunday school lessons, 7,000 communion participants, 52 separate E-Rock newsletters, which I hope you're getting. If you're not, you got to go sign up for it, because it's going to let you know what's happening in our church. We had over 400 people on our serving schedules that signed up to serve in our locations. Over 400 people were actually on our serving schedule, serving the rest of the body. That's amazing to me. That's amazing. 400 people are serving. A lot of ministry going on. A lot of cool teaching stuff going on, although we didn't mix it up too much because we started with, and we're still in, the book of Acts, our Simply So series, going through expositorily going through the book of Acts, and we still have about 12 weeks left of the book of Acts. We're going to finish it out. We stopped for the Christmas season, just took a break. We're going to finish out the book of Acts here, starting in about 4 weeks. Downtown, we also had the Seven Deadly Lies series. In Sandy, we had the Lost Family and Child-Raising series, a six-week series. Again, the Simply So campaign, we had videos almost every week of people's stories. That in and of itself was a huge deal. To videotape and hear all the different stories of people that are reaching out with the gospel. Remember those? We're going to have more for the rest of the series. Our new building, this is a big deal for us in Sandy. We are pressing ahead with a new building. We had a bunch of cool things happen. We had our geotech civil stuff, as the way Josh put it as a civil engineer. Geotech civil stuff was all donated to us. A pretty big ticket item. Josh's old company donated a lot of that to us. Our civil engineering work has all been donated to us. That's a really big number by somebody that goes to our church. Did all that. That took months and months and months and drawing after drawing. And they blessed us. That's tens of thousands of dollars that people donated with their talents. UDOT approved our 700 East entry. That's a big deal. That may not be big to you, but that's a big deal. When God can get UDOT to do something, that's a really big deal. Run for the Rock. That's a 5K race that we've had every year for a number of years just to raise money. It's a way that the Pazants can help. That's their contribution to help raise money for our new facility. And that's always a fun thing to do. We had our building loan was approved. Again, a big deal. Planning Commission unanimously okayed our decision and our plans. That's a big deal where they had to go to the public and we had to post signs and we could have public input and you never know what's going to happen, but they all voted unanimously, let's let these guys do this. And the donations toward the Roots campaign have been off the hook. They've been unbelievable. It's been overwhelming how you guys have responded, not just with your commitments, but above and beyond. Even it's way more than, and I'll talk about it in a second here because it's amazing. Music and media. There's so many cool things going on with music and media. Downloads increased dramatically. Giveaways. There were 4 EPs, 21 songs that were written, produced, and given away. We just gave music away. That's what we said last year about this time. Hey, we want to be more generous this year than we were last year. As pastors, that was one of our goals. We want to be more generous. And with the music, that's what we did. I mean, that cost thousands and thousands of dollars to produce that much music and then just to give it away. But you want to know something? God has been faithful, even with those finances. I can't remember how much, over $10,000 at least to produce all that music. More than that, I think, 14, something like that. But you know what? We ended up in the black in the rock music. So we had big gifts. We had people donating toward the rock music, and it covered all that. So we gave all that music away, and God says, I'll just give that back to you. We paid for it all, and God just covered it back up. So here you go. If you're going to be generous, I'm going to take care of you. And that was a simple goal, just give it away and bless people. We did that, and God is faithful, amen? God's faithful. The TRM listening room was a big hit. The art shows, youth outreach concerts, again, 3 albums given away from Come and Live to over 90 countries, and 1 album was featured album of the week on the Come and Live site, which is a big deal. Over 521 albums sold at our storefront. 521 albums, that's huge. At our storefront, hundreds more songs in iTunes downloaded from our website. One of our albums was mentioned on Mark Driscoll's Mars Hill Facebook and Twitter platforms this year, listed in a blog on the Resurgence site. So that was pretty cool to see that happen. And 1,530 songs sung at our worship services. Again, that comes from Steele. He's doing the math on that one. He loves that, okay? Finances. Just have 2 more categories here. Finances. This has encouraged my heart. We twice a year, what we've been doing is doing what we call a change the world, where we get these cans and we just say, you know what? We pick some needy organizations or some partner organizations that in town here. There's a number that we're getting formal partnerships with, and we just say, hey church, let's just bless these organizations. We take some paint cans that are empty, and we just say, just take your change out and just drop it in. Just drop some change in. Let's change their world. And so we did that twice this year. We by just passing paint cans, we raised over $1,500 for the Pregnancy Resource Center just in one night. You guys just dropped your change in, $1,500. That buys a lot of diapers for the Pregnancy Resource Center, one of our partner ministries. We raised $7,300 for the Romanian church building in one day, just by passing cans around. And then we decided as pastors to double that. We just took money and we said, we'll double whatever is put in there. So we were able to send $15,000 to help build that building, which is now almost completed. You ought to go on the Rock Romania Facebook page and see the amazing, it's an amazing, cool thing to see. That was just a piece of dirt 2 years ago when I was there. And honestly, I stood above that dirt and I told the guys who were with me, our church can build this building. I said, how much is it going to cost? He told me, I said, we can do, our church is going to build this building. And a year later, it's built. Because you guys gave $15,000 to have it done. Yeah, amen. Go ahead. I know you want to clap. That's good. God is good. So this year, we started giving to our Roots campaign, which is cool, to build the building. We pledged $1.6 million. It's going to cost a little more than that. But since June is when we all started giving our money. Since June, you guys have given over $600,000 above and beyond your regular giving to the Roots campaign. Now, that goes toward what was pledged. I understand that. So maybe at the end it's going to slow down. But you guys are like, woo, way above what we would have expected with the pledges that came in. I mean, we're tracking, like, we should be right down here. It's going, whoop, like that. $600,000, that's $75,000 a month that's coming in on average for our Roots campaign, which is money, again, that has been pledged, which is very cool. We're expecting money to come in, but not that much. It's like, wow. And that really helps us, by the way, because there's a number of things we've had to spend money on to get this thing going. So that is very, very encouraging. You guys have been very, very generous. As a church, we love to be generous. Again, we wanted to be generous this year. I love this, that as a church, we gave away to other church plants and other pastors that are needy in our region. In our region of churches, we have probably about 12, 13 other churches in our region. We gave close to $100,000 away, just gave it away. Not to us, to be used by other churches and other initiatives in our region to help pastors and help churches and help new initiatives start. Our church gave $100,000 away. That's huge. That is amazing to me. We want to be generous. We gave $26,000 away to other mission efforts outside of that, other Christian ministries that we heard there were needs. We gave $6,000 just to local, just to help people with groceries or to help with rent, over $6,000. A total of $131,000 we gave away to just from our bank account. We said, you guys gave it, and we said, we're going to give $131,000 we gave away as a church last year. Most churches don't even have a budget of $130,000 in Utah. They don't. And because of your generosity, because of God's faithfulness, this church is able to give away to other people and other needs that much money. That's a beautiful thing. That blesses my heart. We asked God that we'd be generous, and he allowed us to be generous. The last category, website stuff was very cool. You guys, we got a new website this year. That was huge. It took years to do, and it's been updated, and it's beautiful. We also have our phone app. If you don't have our Rock phone app yet, you ought to get that. I guess it's for Android and Windows. A little commercial there, right there. For Android and Windows, you can have it. Over 750 people have downloaded it. You can download it. Ask Tony. He'll know how to do it. We had, get this. This is cool. We had 146,000 messages from the Rock Church downloaded. 146,000 people messages were actually downloaded from our website. Again, the 20 songs were given away from our website. 54,000 Rock Church and Rock Music combined visitors. So that's 54,000 unique visitors, I think. Is that right, Tony? Unique visitors. 54,000 people visited our website. 16,489 video plays from our website. 16,000 of our messages on video were watched. That's a lot. That's influence. I know people from Finland. We've gotten emails from people all over the world that watch our stuff. And they thank us for it. They thank us that it's online. The Rise EP the Rise EP promo. So these are the top three videos that were watched on our website. The Rise EP featuring Favor and Union, 922 times that video was watched. At Your Feet by Paul Porter is watched 839 times. And Your Bride by Caleb and Kelsey Yetton, 832 times. That is just a little bit of a look back at where we have been. Now, again, yeah, give a round of applause for that, because that is amazing. And I love this verse. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. We can give thanks to God for that. And we should. We should be excited about that, to remember all that God's done. God has done it all. And we should be thankful for that. It should give us courage to press ahead in the future, because God has so much more for us in this coming year. Let's just look ahead real briefly at these last two things, and then we'll finish. So we looked at the past. We also, if we want to take ground in 2014, we need to realize where we're at right now. So that brings us up to where we're at. And first of all, we're thanking God, we're applying what we've learned, and we're going to plan for the future. That's what we're going to do. We are thanking God for the past, we are applying what we've learned right now, and we're going to plan for the future. That's how we act in the present. Those are the things we're doing right now in the present. So what we're applying is we're finishing the Simply So series. We're making plans right now today to move out of the Sandy building. As soon as they give us a 30-day notice, we're going to move out of the Sandy building. We're going to move down here, and we're going to meet here on Friday nights at 6:48. Instead of Sunday morning, we're going to meet here until our building gets built. So that's why you need to pray that we're there as long as possible, because Friday nights at 6:48 isn't ideal, but God will take care of us, and it'll be fine. But that's our plan. Right now, that's what we're doing. Right now, we're getting permits to build our building. We're in the process of that. Right now, we're organizing and leading our small groups and raising up disciples. Right now, we're raising up leaders. Right now, we're discipling men and women. Right now, we're simply sowing the gospel every day. There are opportunities all over in Utah, and we need to continue to sow the gospel. And we're planning and dreaming about the future. So let's talk about the future briefly. Here's again the football. Jesus had one command, and that was to reach the world with the gospel. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Take the football across the goal line. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you, even to the ends of the age, always even to the end of the age. This is our goal, to tell the whole world. That's our future. We're figuring out how we can be more effective at telling people about Jesus. We're simply sowing, because we have been called to be God's witnesses, right? You and I, we're on the team. We're on Vince's team. We're on Jesus's team. And he's given us the ball and say, take it to the end of the world. You're to be a witness. Tell people what I did for you. That's all I want you to do. Just be a witness. Tell them what I did for you. Tell everybody. Make them disciples. With that, you and I need to understand this. I believe this with all my heart, is that if you and I have an impact on Utah, if we reach Utah, if Utah comes to a point, and you know what I'm talking about, when Utah comes to a point where we say we believe in the historic biblical Jesus, we were wrong about these beliefs, we now turn and repent and turn to Christ, the Christ that gives us grace, that draws us with his love and kindness, his mercy, who paid the penalty for me on the cross. When Utah does that, the world will take notice. That's what the airwaves will be talking about. That's what the news programs will be talking about. They'll be interviewing religious leaders and saying, I thought you believed in Jesus. Well, let me explain to you. We thought we did too. But we realized we were wrong. And this is how you believe in Jesus. And the gospel gets shared on the news. What's the difference? Well, here's the difference. You see, Jesus paid it all. There's nothing I can do. We used to think that we had to do something. But now it's Jesus' grace. The entire world will want to hear that, and they will hear it. If we win Utah, we're going to have worldwide impact. That's why I think God's eye is on Utah, because he's not stupid. He goes, this is going to be a great way to reach the world. The whole world will hear about this, man. This will be awesome. It is happening. Just open your eyes. You'll see it. So God's going to do amazing things in the future. I could go through a whole list. We'll do some of that over the next few weeks. I don't have time to go through all this. One thing I do want to mention, because we're going to repeat a lot of the things, same. We'll do mission trips to Honduras. We're going to do, we have three mission trips, Europe, Honduras, Romania. You're welcome to come along. I just realized this driving in here, I've jotted it down. We need to have a 15-year anniversary party. We haven't had a party for a while. We had one at our 10-year, we need to whoop it up and have a 15-year party. We'll plan that, maybe at our new building. That'd be awesome. Hopefully it'll be done. We'll have a big old 15-year party. So let me finish with this quote. I love C.T. Studd, and I've never seen that picture of him. That's kind of cool. Scribd finds my pictures for me. I put him in, and he changes them because he finds better ones, and he's awesome and stuff like that. Some, here's what he said. He was a missionary on fire for God. He said, some wish to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. That's the spirit right there. That is Vince Lombardi. And I want to tell you, men and women, Jesus is our mission. He's our purpose. And our goal is to take him to the ends of the world. Even if it means within an inch of hell, we're going to go there and help people. We're going to direct traffic. Don't go there. You can come here. That's our goal. That's our mission. Men and women, Jesus is our purpose. Amen. Lord, we thank you so much for this time. Thanks for the reminder of all that you've done. Thank you, God, that we can trust you for an amazing future. And I believe you're going to do incredible things at The Rock. You've already done that. Even remembering what you've done, we're very thankful for that, God. We think back to all the amazing things you've done, and we bless you. And we tell you, we didn't do that. We didn't do any of it. You just used us. And we were willing, even sometimes in spite of ourselves, you've done incredible things. So together we say thank you. Why don't you say thank you out loud? Just say it. Say it again. Say thank you, Jesus. Because you've done amazing things, God, and you deserve our thanks. You deserve it, God. Thank you for refocusing us for 2014. Thank you for the plans, the exciting, remarkable, unbelievable, faith-stretching plans you have for us in 2014. Might you be glorified through the ministry and the people of The Rock Church. We give all glory to you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.